Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View, our Monday edition of Point of View. Congratulations to the matric of 2024. The best ever results ever. Of course they're skeptics. Of course you already have political parties issuing statements. And in fact, I think it was Bossa who's already saying, no, the real pass rate is actually 50%. Listen, this is not the moment. I really don't think this is the moment to take away from the students of 2024. This is the cohort, let's remember, that started high school during the COVID year. And I think as much as everybody talks about the teachers, the district specialists and all the schools and everybody in the education department, I think it really all goes down to the students, the commitment of the students. I say congratulations to all of you. I say well done. You've done it. You are here. Take the moment. Celebrate. Do what you have to do. And let's pick it up again tomorrow. If you are not one of those that did well, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. It's not the end of the world. In fact, tomorrow we're going to speak about that. We're going to speak about what are your chances? What are your options? What can you do? Please. It's not the end of the world. So this is my message to you. We're all here. We're going to pull this, we're going to pull through all of this together. But we celebrate now. We celebrate with all of those who did so well. Gauteng, what did we do? We came third. I mean, we were always second, right? But gunning for number one. We're now here, third. But excellent results all around. Congratulations, matrics of 2024. Teachers, everybody, congratulations. So we're going to get reaction from all the different departments in education and all the NPOs and all the people that matter in the education sector. We'll also touch base with our reporter as well, who was there when the minister did that wonderful announcement. So there's lots coming up on the show today. Just do stick around and I've got a surprise for you for 9:30.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
Our reporter, Karinda Jagmohan, who is out today, really listening in to the Minister of Basic Education as she was releasing her results today. Karinda, good evening to you and welcome to Point of View. What an evening it's been. Congratulations, I suppose, are in order for everybody in the room.
Absolutely. Good evening, Pamela. It was quite a joyous celebration when we heard that the class of 2024 achieved an overall pass rate of over 87%. And that is the highest in the history of the country. There were celebrations all round. And in this specific year, 47.8% of the candidates qualified for admission to bachelor studies. This means they'll be able to pursue a bachelor's degree in their specific university courses, which was a major increase from last year. Going forward as well, we did see that there has been an increase in the number of distinctions that we achieved. We saw that there were over 319,000 distinctions, most of which were from KwaZulu-Natal. Coming in second was the Western Cape and then Gauteng. And then going forward, we heard that a majority of quintile one schools achieved over the past overall average pass rate as well. So this specific class performed extremely well, especially with the minister describing the class of 2024 as prestigious, saying that they were resilient, could be resilient to wildfires, which she says is what they experienced when they went into the great eight year at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic and went through those years in their high school years through the pandemic as well. So it was quite a celebration for all of the achievers in this hall today.
Just to make sure, Karinda, so Gauteng has now dropped to third. Am I correct in understanding that Gauteng has dropped to third, not second, is not second?
At this point, they are third in terms of the provincial performance. Free State is the best performing,
yes,
performing province, rather, at 91%. KwaZulu-Natal at number two with a pass rate of 89.5%. And then at number three is Gauteng with 88.4%, an increase from 85.4% last year.
two big winners for me then is definitely KZN, because KZN has fought really, really hard to get to this number two spot, but also the Northern Cape that is the most improved. I mean, yes, I know, you know, it's at number nine, but it is the most improved with incredible challenges.
Absolutely, the Northern Cape at number 9 with 84.2% pass rate, but Pamela, it's the most improved because in 2023 it was down by 8.3%. So they've increased drastically as well. As well as no free schools, they improved their pass rate from 81% in 2023 to 85.8% in 2024. I'd like to add that while the minister, while all of the delegates were overjoyed, there was also a caution issued that there needs to be more STEM science involvement at a younger schooling age. Just looking forward, school officially starts on Wednesday, and what the minister encouraged was to ensure that there's more science reading with understanding as well at the more primary to mid levels of the schooling system going forward. And that's what many of the matriculants have been saying just when we interview them after achieving their awards today.
Well, in fact, I want to speak a little bit about that, because the minister made the point that, you know, yes, the mathematics results have improved as well as the science results have improved, but that number is shrinking quite a bit, and we need to make sure that more students take up maths and sciences, for instance, in economics.
Absolutely. Specifically with regards to the passes in maths and physical science, described as gateway subjects essential for South Africa's socio-economic development. And in 2024, we saw 69.1% of learners pass maths, which is an increase from 2023. But with physical science, while 75.6% of learners pass, it's a decrease from 76.2% in 2023. So there is quite an issue here, along with that reading with understanding, something that was emphasized throughout the minister's speech as well as in other aspects of interviews we've done with many of the matriculants themselves, encouraging the younger young learners to read more often during their school breaks. So that's actually something that was echoed quite a lot by the top achievers here.
Look, you know, she made the point to say this is not quite the quality of education that we would like. We are improving, but it is a step in the right direction. Was that, you know, the kind of sentiment that was received all around, or what did you make of that statement?
Well, the minister was alluding to international surveys conducted with regards to certain schooling systems and certain grades, whereby, for example, scholars at a certain level in South African schools might not be performing at the same rate as scholars at the same level in another country. And so that is what the minister was comparing, saying that there needs to be an increase, essentially what we spoke about, math, physical science, STEM subjects, saying that there needs to be more involvement in this, as well as actual tutoring in this as well, saying that going forward, there needs to be more engagement between teachers as well as pupils too, to ensure that they understand the actual subjects as opposed to perhaps not essentially copying, but really just reading everything without understanding it. So that is something that was echoed today. And I must tell you that while I spoke to you, I'm just watching the top achievers being interviewed by, you know, a cohort of journalists, but all of them smiling, really all echoing and sharing the same thing, is to ensure that homework is done, reading with understanding is done, and also a message to parents shared is to be patient with their children. Actually, the Deputy Minister saying to parents, with the results further come out in the selected newspapers and websites tomorrow, to say, well, don't push your children to the limit that you didn't push yourself to. So just saying, be calm with the children too. That's another sentiment that was shared today.
Karinda Jagmohan, a car reporter who's out there today at the announcement of the matric results 2024 cohort. Absolutely fantastic results coming through. I want to quickly go to Umalusa spokesperson, Biki Liputa. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening. A very good evening, and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening, Pamela, and the listeners, and thanks for having us.
I'd say we're all elated. I mean, there was also a special moment taken by the minister as well, saying, you know, Uma Lucy has done exceptionally well this past year and obviously over the past couple of years. But your sentiments on how well the matrix have done this year?
Well, Uma Lucy congratulates all matriculants across three assessment bodies, DBE, IB and Sakai. Mm-hmm. And we congratulate every role player for ensuring that the class of 2024 gets delivered to the point where we are. Of course, at the same time, we appreciate the efforts of all the people who work for Malusi, beginning with the external moderators who moderated the question papers, mm-hmm. the marking verifiers, the monitors who went out during the examinations just to check that the examinations run according to policy, as well as the various committees of Umalusi Council, which looked at the results and eventually approved the results. So we are very happy with what we have had.
There was obviously an announcement earlier on this morning about a breach that occurred. Yes, you have approved that the results can be released and they are in good standing. Just your sentiments about these constant breaches that we keep seeing every year.
Well, Uma Lucy has raised its concern in its approval statement and has directed that the relevant assessment bodies put in place to tighten up all the loose ends in the system to ensure that the lapses that have been referred to in the approval statements do not recur going forward. Because if left unattended, such lapses have the potential to affect negatively the credibility of the certificates that Uma Lucy issues. Mm. So that's why we are saying, especially with regard to one or two assessment bodies, they've got to put in improvement plans and work very closely with Uma Lucy in implementing the improvement plans.
Mm. I mean, have you been working closely with them in that regard? Some of the suggestions that you may have had previously, do you feel that the things have been implemented accordingly?
Well, largely, yes, but with regard to the specific assessment body, the Department of Higher Education and Training, the council has directed that it works closely with Uma Lucy. Mm. Yes, we do work with across all assessment bodies. We have quarterly meetings, four meetings a year, to look at how last year was run and then how do we plan to ensure that this year there's no recurrence of last year's lapses. Mm. So we are informing the viewers that we will work very closely with the Department of Higher Education and Training to ensure that the credibility of the whole system does not get affected negatively.
All right, I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening. Spokesperson of Uma Lucy, Biggie Lebota. We'll continue taking reaction on the 2024 matric results. And I'd love to also hear from you, 086-00-00959, your sentiments. If one of you in the family was a matric student, how is that person? How are you as a family doing? You know, how was the day? I can only imagine how stressful it must have been. And finally, the results are in. Let's hear from you, 086-00-00959. We'll take many reactions from different bodies. Let's go here to Equal Education Deputy Secretary General Itumeleng Motlhabane, who's on the line with us. Thank you very much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you for having us. Good evening.
Itumeleng, you know, we've already hardly 5 minutes after the announcement by the minister, there was already a statement coming out of Build One South Africa saying, well, that's not a true reflection of the matric results. The real matric results are 50%. Your reaction to those who are skeptical?
At Equal Education, we would like to celebrate the 87%, to celebrate the dedication of teachers. However, we've remained consistent to say that the minister must also take into account the throughput rate. She announced that 1.2 million learners started in grade one with this cohort, but only 700,000 of them wrote the matric results. And so that tells you that a lot of the learners have been shed off the system before they get to matric. And that is no surprise to us as Equal Education, considering the environments that learners learn in, particularly learners learners in quintile 1 to quintile 3 with the challenges with school infrastructure, overcrowding in schools, the lack of safety for learners. That is why a lot of learners have not made it to matric. So while we celebrate the 87%, but we are also saying that the throughput rate in this country is alarming, and the minister needs to also focus on that.
She highlighted that and said we're all mistaken, in fact, when we do that. There are other things that happen. Children move from, and I want to get your reaction to this, children move from the public schooling system to the private schooling system. Others choose different paths. They go to the technical route after grade 9, and saying that we are not being fair when we say the pull-through rate has decreased. They just have taken other options. Your take on that?
That's not completely true from the minister, because statistics show us that even in 2023, there's still very low percentage of learners, particularly from public schools, that take the option to go to tertiary colleges as early as grade 9. In fact, there are parts of the country where people have no idea that learners can leave the school from grade 9 and go to a tertiary college. Also, the stigma that tertiary colleges are currently facing in this country is bizarre. For her to be able to claim that this big chunk and number of learners are moving from public schools to tertiary colleges. Yes, there is growth of private schools in our country, but that's mostly happening at primary school level. And a lot of the learners in our public school system are dropouts. And they're not even dropouts, as we phrase it, as equal education. They are forced out of the system because of the circumstances. She's really in denial for her to not admit that part, that a lot of these learners are actually choosing unhealthy options for their futures.
She very briefly, but I mean, it was almost in passing, alluded to the fact that this is not quite an assessment on the quality of education. Yes, we have a percentage that we are presenting, but it doesn't directly speak to the quality. You've raised these concerns many times over.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us the quality of the education that these learners go through because of the problems that we're currently facing in the system. Members of Equal Education and Equalizers were inside that room raising placards, saying to the minister that you must reverse the teacher cuts, telling the minister that they're currently faced with overcrowding, telling the minister that it was hard for them to learn during COVID because their classes were already overcrowded. They were dilapidated. They go to school scared of what could happen because the structures in the schools, they pose a risk to their actual lives and their health. And so those things tell you that even this percentage is against all odds. And after 30 years of democracy, we can no longer afford to have learners that succeed and pass against all odds. She needs to not just admit to that, but actively do something.
The kinds of improvements that we're seeing, I mean, this year they seem quite vast. Your assessment of the amount of improvements that we've seen, what do you think has happened between last year and this year in terms of percentage improvements?
Look, the teachers have definitely invested more time. We've seen some of the things in a lot of public schools, the teachers already opened on the 3rd of January, starting with their matriculants already. We're also seeing a worrying trend where schools are failing learners at grade 11 so that they're able to maintain that percentage of grade 12. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing worrying trends, particularly in quintile 5, where schools give learners no return cards to their schools because they anticipate a fail in the next year. So the system is actively rejecting learners that are not promising that they will be able to make it to the level that they're currently going through. However, as Equal Education, we also don't want to take away from the dedication of the learners and also the dedication of the teachers and parents in all these circumstances that they found themselves in. This group, they did their grade 9 and grade 10 during the time of COVID, and that stole a lot of time, learning time from them, but they still were able to improve the percentage of the passing mark.
This issue of failing students at grade 11, this seems to be a threat not only in the private schools, it's also an issue in the public schools. Why are we not dealing with this effectively and calling it out and making sure that it stops?
It is the duty of the Department of Education to actually call it out. But because it paints them a good picture when the matric results come out, they're not actively calling it out. As Equal Education and other education activist bodies, we've been actively calling it out, calling out the fact that learners have to go through a more lengthened schooling period in a country that has already a very long schooling period when you compare to other countries in the world. They have to be at school from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. And that is really unhealthy for them. And so these are things that collective, that give out exhaustion to learners. But at the end of the day, it seems like in that 1 year, the only thing that they have to do is to pass matric. And that is also unhealthy for how the learners learn, because that standard will not be maintained when they go to university and they will then struggle in their first year. So we've been actively calling it out. We need the Department of Education to now take a stand and protect these learners that are actively being rejected by the system.
There's a lot more to talk about there at another time. Equal Education's Deputy Secretary General there giving us their take as Equal Education. And some of these issues are not new. They've raised them before. Basil Manuel is NAPTOSA's Executive Director, also on the line with us. A very good evening, Mr. Manuel, for your time. Welcome to Point of View.
Thank you for having me.
It's a good moment, is it not? With all things being considered, we are here, we're celebrating really great wins and massive improvement from last year.
Yes, it certainly is. It's a massive improvement. Given 4.4% increase, one cannot take away from the success that this is. This is the largest cohort of learners ever to pass matric. And that is what we're celebrating. But it must be more than that, because it's also celebrating a massive improvement in the quality of passes. And testament to that is the number of bachelor passes that one is seeing.
I get you. Obviously, there are concerns, Basil, about the number of students who are taking up, for instance, maths and science in economics, as the minister says, saying a lot more has to be done in earlier grades to try and bring them up into those subjects, to encourage them to take them up. But that work has to be done much, much earlier on. Your reaction to that? And are we maybe putting too much emphasis on those subjects?
We are putting too much emphasis on matric. Let's put it just there. We need to be building the system from the bottom. And the minister did give an indication of the foundation phase, grade one, grade two, etc. And that is extremely important. At the same time, we've got to get the maths system right. Because of the pressure to perform, schools are doing horrendous things. One of those is to shift children to math lit and not make them do pure math.
Yes.
And you can see that testament to that is the low number of children doing pure maths in the Western Cape. It's a climb. And we need to attend to this. But you attend to it much earlier. But we've also got to attend to principals who force children to take a subject that is passable as opposed to what they want to do. Because of this pressure of performance, we want to be the top achieving school. We want to be the top province. In the meantime, you are the top province, but how many children have been retarded and retained? So it's a good story to tell, but there are some blemishes that we mustn't run away from. Now is the time to celebrate, but also to address those blemishes so that we don't lose sight of them.
Basil, we then have to reconsider how teachers are incentivized and schools and principals are incentivized. In other words, where do you use, what kind of a benchmark you use, and what do you qualify as a good outcome? You know, is a good outcome the number of children who pass, or is a good outcome, as you said, maybe more students who are brought through, even if they're not all passing with distinctions, but that everybody gets a chance to be supported in whichever way they need to be supported and not pushed out of the system?
Absolutely. The first issue is about ensuring that every child can be catered for.
Yes.
And the policy framework is there with the three streams model to cater for children that are not academic. Our current system is largely academic. And that's where a lot of our dropouts occur. Mm-hmm. Children just can't cope. And that is also where the principals start doing these horrendous things where they retard children in the system. Mm-hmm. So let's attend to giving every child an equal opportunity. Now, that will take a bit of time, but we've got to start now. Mm-hmm. That's for me, one of the first steps. But quality is good. But also the feel good of passing can't be done away with.
Mm.
It's still good. And even if a person doesn't have the best pass, there are people who blossom later in life. I've had, and when I was at the university doing some lecturing, I've seen students that were average. Mm. My own students blossom at university and become really good students.
Mm.
So we don't write them off. We have to give them an opportunity. So both are important, but we mustn't only celebrate achievement.
Mm.
We must also celebrate the inclusivity, which we don't currently have. And I sincerely hope that we can hold the minister to account when she says the priority is the foundation phase, grade R, grade 1. That is what we want to see. Let's spend money at the bottom. Let's spend money in the throughput system and then we can celebrate matric.
And when you look at what you're currently seeing on the ground, you and I have spoken many times about other socioeconomic challenges that schools are faced with, the teachers, principals, and learners as well. You know, this year, what are you hoping to see improve?
Look, I'm hoping to see that the judgment of a system must be more holistic.
Mm.
I want a province like KZN that seems to have performed exceptionally well.
Yeah.
But the department is crumbling. How do you reconcile those?
Mm-hmm.
Because schools are actually performing and working despite the challenges that are presented by the department.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to get the department right, because the schools eventually start crumbling when they don't have sufficient support. So I want to see a much more supportive system, even for our teachers. Our teachers can't teach 24/7. They can't teach every day of the week.
Mm.
And that is why our teachers reach the age of 50 and then they all want to go.
They
don't want to get to 60.
Basil,
and these are the things that we must look at.
What do you think then happened in KZN? I mean, I also think it's quite an incredible story. Here you are. I mean, they are now number two. And as you said, massive challenges in the department there. What do you think happened?
It shows you that schools that want to perform will perform despite the challenges put in front of them. Those schools are not getting the support that we think they should be getting.
Mm.
The very people are celebrating because they say, we have done well, but they haven't done well.
Mm.
The teachers have done well. The principals have done well. The parents have done well by bringing those children to school. But the teachers are killing themselves to make those children perform well.
Sure. We'll have to speak about this again at another time. NAPTOSA Executive Director Basil Manuel, thank you so much for your take. A very good evening to you.
Absolute pleasure. Bye.
30 minutes after 8 o'clock. Now, we cannot do this without bringing in some incredible students to take a moment and celebrate. And I'd love to also hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. I would like to hear from the students themselves who wrote matric last year. How are they feeling? You know, what kind of a moment is it at home? 086-000-0959. Send those voice notes as well. 063-688-0959. I've got a student here from St. David's Marist Inanda. That's here in Johannesburg. Fatwani Mudau on the line with us. Good evening and welcome, Fatwani.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Congratulations, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, thanks.
Well, just run it down by us, please, and gloat for a second. Tell us your results.
So I was fortunate and blessed to get 7 distinctions.
Oh my goodness.
Which was a distinction for every subject that I did.
I mean, for goodness sake, stop it. How does that happen, Fatwani? Were you expecting this? Have you always been an A student? You know, is it a result of years that you've been working hard, or was this an exceptional year for you?
It's a result of years of hard work, because it didn't start in matric.
Mm.
Matric was just the final touches, because I believe it starts in, all the way from grade one. The building blocks have to start from there. So matric was just the final touches. And for me to achieve this, I was never alone. I had a full team of my my family, my school, St. David, my friends back at home. So I had a lot of support. And also I understood that by working throughout grade 8, especially from grade 8 to grade 11, that it is possible to achieve this feat. And I was able to do this through hard work.
You're born and raised in Alex, 90% average. Just talk to me about some of the challenges you may have experienced in the past year.
So, as you have mentioned, I was born and bred in Alexandra. Mm. For me to get to St. David, I had to get a bursary, a scholarship through the Alexandra Education Committee. Mm-hmm. And for that to happen, my aunt actually assisted me with that. And coming from Nobel Primary School, one of the main challenges was coming from a predominantly black school, transitioning into a multi-racist school, which included white boys, Indian boys, Asian boys.
Yeah.
And now I had to speak English as my predominant language, even though isiZulu is my home language.
Mm.
So that was one of the main challenges, the transition. And on top of that, as we all know, 2020 was the infamous COVID year, so that didn't help as well. So there were a lot of challenges, especially in 2020. However, coming out of 2020, entering 2021, and after seeing my results especially, I could see the potential that I had.
Mm.
And from there, I was like, okay, for me to achieve at a high level, let me ensure that Batuwan Isiyanda Mudau in Alexandra is not different from Batuwan Isiyanda Mudau at St. David's. So once I was able to incorporate my authentic self at school, that's when I started setting academic goals, leadership goals, and that's when it started going well.
So when did you move to St. David's?
I moved in grade 8.
In grade 8. So high school, that COVID year is when you started. Must have been tough.
It was very tough, as I mentioned, very tough. However, as I also mentioned earlier, I've had a very strong team of support that has provided support throughout the past 5 years. My family, my bursary organization, my school, St. David's, my friends back at home. So I've never been alone throughout this journey.
So what's the plan for Nick for this year, to 2025?
The plan is to continue studying.
Yeah.
And through UCT, hopefully to study business science there.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still need to secure a bursary to ensure my funding for the next 4 years. Yeah, well.
You still need to secure a bursary?
Yeah. Well.
With 7 distinctions and 90% average, I don't think it's going to be too bad. I don't think it's going to be too bad. If when are you hoping? Have you applied to many places?
Yes, I have applied. So I have applied to five universities. Applied to more than 5 bursary organizations.
5. Okay.
However, most of them await final results to make final decisions.
Hmm.
So I'm hoping over the next few days, I do get a final decision. I do get a couple of offers because throughout my high school career, I was funded, and now I can't expect my parents to pay university fees.
Do you qualify for NSFAS?
Yeah, well, definitely.
Okay. Have you done that as well? Have you applied through NSFAS as well?
Yeah, well, I have as well.
You have. Okay, excellent. We'll check in on you very soon and make sure that, you know, something has come through for you. Congratulations. Well done. I mean, how's your family? Is everybody celebrating tonight?
Yeah, boy.
Oh, congratulations.
They actually scream from the house.
Oh, congratulations. We wish you all the best. Yeah, and as I said, we'll make sure that something comes through for you. We'll check in on you soon. All right.
Thank you very much.
Batuwan Mudua is St. David's graduate now, 90% average with 7 distinctions. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. And we'll keep track of his journey to university. So matric results 2024 were released today by the Minister of Basic Education. Jubilation everywhere. I just think that we need to take a moment to celebrate. We need to celebrate the students of 2024. This cohort saw it all. Cool. COVID, it was difficult, very, very difficult. And that young man that I spoke to, I think such an inspiration, Mr. Mudao, I'm going to call him Mr. Because I think he deserves it. 7 distinctions, 90% average, incredible, from St. David's here in Inanda in Johannesburg. I just wanted to play you a little bit of a clip from earlier on when the Minister of Basic Education gave an address to both students, you know, department officials and the nation at large.
In 2024, I'm pleased to announce that KwaZulu-Natal achieved the highest number of bachelor passes with over 84,000. KwaZulu-Natal received 84,000 bachelor passes. Straight on their heels is Gauteng with over 66,000 bachelor passes. And right after them is the Eastern Cape with over 45,000 bachelor passes. I'm also incredibly encouraged by the fact that approximately 67% of our bachelor passes achieved in 2024 come from quintile 1 to 3 schools, which are typically our poorest communities. This percentage represents a massive increase from 2023. I'm also pleased to report that every province has increased the number of distinctions received in 2023. KwaZulu-Natal was once more top performing province in terms of percentage of candidates obtaining distinctions. Coming second was the Western Cape in the most number of learners receiving distinctions, followed by our host province, Gauteng. Notable progress was made by Mpumalanga and Limpopo in this regard, where we saw improvements from 2023. Maths and science are gateway subjects that are essential for South Africa's economic development. And in 2024, 69% of learners passed maths, which is a massive increase from last year in 2023. However, physical sciences, whilst 75% of learners have passed, has seen a slight decrease from the last year. And so while the number and percentage of learners achieving distinctions in maths has increased in 2024 from 2023, the number and percentage of learners receiving distinctions in physical sciences has dropped. The improvement in performance in maths is encouraging. However, the decreasing participation rates in these key subjects and the decrease in performance in physical science highlights an urgent need to improve foundational literacy and numeracy to ensure that our schooling system produces learners who are confident enough and capable enough to choose and excel in maths and science throughout their schooling career. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also pleased to note that in 2024, we saw more of our high schools achieving a pass rate in the NSC exams that between 80% and 100%. Last year, the number of high schools achieving this was approximately 4,400, and this year, 5,300 of our schools are in the 80 to 100% benchmark. And this is significant because this represents 78% of our high schools, which are achieving between 80 and 100% pass mark. It is also important to note that the number of underperforming schools has decreased. This is thanks to intensified interventions undertaken by the DBE, by the provincial education departments, and their district teams to support schools in distress. Ladies and gentlemen, while the matric pass rate does not on its own tell us about the quality of education outcomes in our system, it is an important indicator for progress. To pass the NSC, learners are not only required to simply get 30% across all subjects, which is often misconceived to be the only requirement. Instead, they are required to get at least 40% in their home language and 2 other subjects, at least 30% in 3 other subjects, and must pass 6 of their 7 subjects. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce that in 2024, over 615,000 learners passed the NSC exam more than any other time in our history. South Africa's national pass rate for the 2024 National Senior Certificate has therefore increased from 82.9% in 2023 to 87.3% in 2024. At a provincial level, I'm pleased to announce that every province improved on its performance from 2023. And listen to this, every province has achieved above 84% pass rate. Free State is the best performing province, increasing its pass rate from 89% to 91%. Zulu Natal at number two from 3 points. KwaZulu-Natal has obtained 89.5% matric pass rate. Number three is Gauteng. It has increased from its pass rate of last year of 85.4% to 88.4% in 2024. The Northwest comes in at number four and has obtained 87.5% of their pass rate. Is the Western Cape, which comes in at 86.6%, an increase of 5% from the last year. The following three provinces have all received a rounded off pass rate of 85%. However, they are ranked according to the highest raw percentage points achieved. Limpopo comes at number six, which is a 5% increase, sitting at 85.1%. Mpumalanga comes in at number seven, an increase of 8%, taking them to 84.9%. The Eastern Cape comes in at eight with an increase of 3.6%, taking them to 84.98%. The MEC did say that 85% is possible, and indeed, MEC, 85% is possible. The Northern Cape is coming at number nine with 84.2%. But I must add, it's also important to note that the Northern Cape is the most improved province. It has surged by 8.3% from last year. Northeast schools improved their pass rate from 81% last year to 85.8% in 2024.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.